Chesney, I'm here with Diamond Dave Ebert, the buddy love, the sexy East Coast's sexiest, largest athlete, and yeah, man, you we've had some, since we last talked to Dave, there's been a lot going on in the world, and a lot going on just with us individually. And I want to get into that. I know you had a really special show. You guys had a really special show on Saturday yesterday, and I wanted to hear how that went. And because I feel like I'm getting fantasy football updates while every one of my players is going down this week, injured. So, yeah, it's really sad. And I'm also drinking this like weird kind of creatine right now. It's like pre-workout creatine, and so I will probably be having to go to the bathroom in the middle of the show here. So, just to let you guys know, but we are Haha Men. Like us on Facebook and in real life, and follow us on Facebook at Haha Men Improv and Instagram and Twitter at Haha Men Improv. Don't be afraid because we're nice people. Like, we're good people, you know? Like, we might look scary. The guys in the group might be frightening. The girls are all gorgeous, but the guys in the group are all, like, kind of...
We're not the kind of guys you want to hang out with in an alley.
That's right. Especially Buddy Love, or Jim. You know, Jim's like one of those guys who, you just know if you know, I'd be afraid to see what he does. Or Zarbuck. Like, I feel like Zarbuck, you know, Zarbuck would start talking, and then all of us, like, remember that? What was that show that he was on?
Oh, on Chicago Justice.
Yeah. Like, that's how I picture Zarbuck in an alley. Like, that's how I picture him in real life whenever you see him on the streets. Like, hey, Dave, how you doing? Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez, I gotta go.
Oh, jeez, I gotta go. I gotta go. Oh, jeez. Yeah, man. So, I debuted a... I had a gig this upcoming week, and I had a lot I wanted to get into, but I didn't write any of it down. Which is like I wanted to kind of get into, like this art thing, whatever. I debuted a new song, and it's called because I started writing it, and because I'm starting to do this, like, really starting to get into this, doing this, like weird musical comedy thing that I do where I just, like, write my own funny songs or write my own songs and then people laugh, whether they're meant to be funny or not. So I debuted a new song, and it went really well. It's called I Wanted to Play in the NBA. And I'm actually going to – I think I have it here. I'm going to play it a little later during my bathroom break. I think I uploaded it, but wow, it's 3 minutes long, but it went really well. And the vibe that I got was awesome from the group. And it's kind of like our scene that you and I did with, this drink is getting to me right now. It's not alcohol, but it's like creatine. So I need to slow it down here. But it was kind of like the scene that you and I did with the NBA when we were basketball, where, you know, it was going out for the team. And I took a lot of that and incorporated that into the song. And yeah, so I thought it worked out, and I'll play that for you later, because and I put awesome. It in the style of like a blues like riff. It's like a blues song, kind of.
But the reaction was Chicago.
The reaction was overwhelming to it. Nice. The audience really, really liked it, and you know, so one of the guys, and I was telling you before we got interrupted by this British lady. One of the guys, you know, told me, the guy who runs the open mic told me, he said, he's like, Ryan, he's like, you're no fluke. And I was like, I didn't know what to make of that. I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, he's like, yeah, I would hope not. He's like, yeah, I mean it. I mean, you know, it's one thing to just come up with one or two good ideas, but you've really got a nice little run going on here. And, yeah, I guess that's kind of what I wanted to get into, is now it's now kind of what, you know, having to, I guess I continue to come up with different concepts and ideas for songs. It's kind of stressful. Like I came up, like I wrote this, I was starting to write this song about procrastination, but then I you know, ended up watching this long Tom Petty documentary on Netflix. So I'm getting to that later. The procrastination song will have to wait, because YouTube and Netflix, and now football. So, but yeah, and that's one of those things. It's like, okay, I don't want this to be too stressful, like to like always having to, but there is some like level of healthiness to it in order to like mm-hmm. dare to be, you know, to try to always outdo yourself. Especially like when with comedy, and with, you know, like with I guess like with improv too, like, it, you know, always trying to get better, always trying to, you know, be as good as you can possibly be. And sorry, I'm trying to, don't know exactly where I wanted to go in that, but it just, I feel like that was kind of like what was weighing on. It's like, okay, now I gotta continue to, you know, work on this and stress this, and, you know, how far is this going to go? And I also felt like, I know I'm being scatterbrained, but that also kind of brought me into what I was wanting to talk about, and the things that I've learned this week, and things that God has taught me, is that, because I started getting like really stressed out about, like, okay, you know, hey, yeah, that was great, you know, but continue to do that. Continue to strive, continue to write. And, you know, I just remember like, at, you know, asking God as a God, you know, like, or just like, you know, during my quiet time, I was like, God, you know, what's up? Like, what do you want to say to me? And he just said, you know, one of our giants, and one of my big giants has always been fear. Fear of not being good enough, fear of not, you know, not, you know, being rejected, fear of all that. And, it struck me. It's like, you know, I don't need to fear that. All I can do
right.
is, one, just have fun with the process, but two, you know, if God is going to bless it, God's going to bless it. And, you
right.
know, like, so that's not something that I've really should really worry about. Instead, just kind of, you know, say, here I am, God, send me, and don't be afraid to go out and get out of my comfort zone on certain things.
Right.
Because, and I told you this on a Saturday. it was a Friday or Saturday, but I've been off Facebook pretty much for the week. I thought it's been good because, you know, here's the thing, and I'll let you respond to this, but especially after like the stuff happened, you know, with the NFL, stuff happened on Monday with the ridiculous shootings in Las Vegas. I just stopped really wanting to, like, I don't really, when people just send a bunch of memes and they, you know, politicize everything and they immediately, and Ben Shapiro had a great thing about this, but they immediately, put on bad motives towards people who don't believe like them, i.e.,
right.
You know, the Democrats or the liberals with the guns, i.e. Jimmy Kimmel with, you know, whoever, like with the people that he was talking about on in this monologue. And that's not not healthy. That's not productive. And I just was like, I don't want to, like, and that's all I saw. That's all I saw on Facebook. And it was starting to really, and also I just, you know, was spending like way too much time, like trying to like get on there. And so I just decided to take that time off. And, it's been pretty good. I've been on Instagram, which is kind of a less, I don't know, dumb, you know, it's a more, I think more fun version of Facebook where you can just, you don't have to listen, like nobody just is like angry and, you know, curse. I don't know. It just seems like it's better because it's, I don't have to, like, you know, people aren't getting into political arguments over memes.
Right. And that's one of the things that drives me nuts is, people will like and share these memes like they're some sort of brilliant piece of thought, and half the time you sit there for
five seconds
and realize there's a lot of false, there's a lot of just inaccurate information being represented, and it's all about emotion and not fact or logic. And that's why I probably should, but I just don't see me being able to completely step away from Facebook. But what I'm doing is I'm staying out of the political. I'm not sharing political memes. I'm not trying to be, you know, pro-Trump, anti-Trump, whatever. I'm just trying to share the gospel, share the truth. And every once in a while when I see a friend or somebody I'm connected to say something really dumb or off color or just completely out of whack, I'll take a moment, I'll call them out on it just to see if there's room for discussion. But usually there's no room for discussion.
Yeah, and that's the issue, is that there's no room for discussion. And especially with my friends, I'll just be, like, getting off of it, like, I've liked it because, you know, I don't really, a lot of it has been, I don't know, I just feel like I waste so much time on there instead of, and for me, it was just more of getting in, it's more of a fasting thing, I guess. And, and it's a great source. I'm gonna have to, you know, I probably should get back to, you know, the only thing I think I did was I linked a video that I did, but I put that on YouTube. So I wasn't actually on like Facebook, I video of my song and, so I wasn't actually on Facebook. So I haven't really got to see who's all commented on it and what, but you know, it's sometimes it's really good to do that. It's really good to get away. And I know for me, and God has revealed a lot of things. It was one thing that, I was listening, I was at the gym and I was listening to like Moody, the radio, and God, there was a sermon going on. I think it was Gary Chapman who was talking about it. And he was talking about forgiveness and what that actually means. And, you know, and it's something that I've never heard of before. Like the one thing, and I'm just saying this because, you know, this is what I feel like I've it's affected me. So it's like, it's convicted me. But one thing is that we can't really forgive somebody if they don't ask for it. And for instance, you know, Jesus really, like, you know, if we don't ask, if we don't repent of our sins, you know, Jesus isn't going to forgive us. There's going to be consequences. And it's the same thing that goes with, you know, biblically, it's the same thing that goes with, you know, if somebody wrongs me, if somebody sins against me, you know, I can't forgive them if they don't ask for it. Now, what I can do, like, a lot of times, and I've always heard the opposite of that. And so I was thinking, wait a minute, what, how are you going to spin this? And so what he was talking about, what he's saying, now what you're feeling, what you need to do is you need to go and ask God to let go of the bitterness that and forgive you of the bitterness that you have towards that person. Now when the person comes and says, hey, you know, I'm sorry, then that's when you can, okay, you know what? Yeah, I can forgive you. And even then, like, you still, and it was great, because I've had this feeling too. Even then, like, you know, yeah, in that moment, you can forgive them. And there still might be times when you remember that. You remember that they, when they, how you felt when they sinned against you. And that anger pops back up. But you need to go back to God again and say, hey, God, take this away from me. Because, and I thought to me, I was like, wow, that's, like, to me, that was, like, really, yeah, it was definitely eye-opening, because I've never heard it put like that. And I got to thinking about, like, people in my own life, whether it be with the movie, whether it be just people who, in general, who have said, you know, bad thing about me or something, or, you know, rejected me or done something against me. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly it, is that, you know, I can't forgive them because they haven't really asked for it. But what I can do is ask for God to take away any sort of anger and wrath that I have in my heart towards them, because that's not going to do any good. So that's something that I've been, like, really chewing on and kind of thinking about, because I know when I heard that, I was like, I get it. I understand it. So that's just what's something that, you know, that's kind of devotions with Ryan time, what God was talking to me about.
Yeah, and I've heard that mentioned on Moody Radio before too, that sometimes you don't forgive people because they don't ask for it, and because, like, with God, if you never repent and seek forgiveness, then you will face judgment, because part of that whole process is accepting that you've wronged God and you've gone against His word, gone against His will, and that's why you have to, you know, repent and ask for forgiveness and all that. But I also think that that's a very higher level thinking, because, like you said, you have to seek God's help to let go of the bitterness and let go of the wrong, so that it doesn't become a burden on you, so that it doesn't become something that is a foothold of the enemy. So I think it's a very prayerful act to say that someone's not forgiven, but you've released it, so that it's no longer a burden.
Yeah.
And in many ways, people would feel that saying, well, I've asked God to help me release the bitterness and the anger and the hurt. So in that act of itself, you've essentially done the business of forgiveness. It's just the actual act of letting someone know that they're forgiven, I think, is the biggest difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's definitely, like, a lot of that is, and even if, let's say, like, yeah, and he went on about it, but like, I think that he, you know, I know for me, there is that release of, okay, I'm not going to let it anger me anymore. I'm not going to let it, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, in that way, it's your own way of forgiving the person. But with the, I guess with the like face to face, like confrontation with that, I think that there is another level to that where, you know, cause that's just between you and God right now. That's not between mm-hmm. you and the other person. And so there has to be another level to that. Like when the person comes and has that conviction, you know, and just for my own, you know, purpose and examples, you know, there's been times where I felt like, hey, I've released it over to God. My anger, mm-hmm. for instance, the one of my friends who left the movie. Yeah, I was angry with her, and not the woman who tried to run me over with the car, who was in love with me, but the other one, her friend. I was angry with her because I thought she was better than that. And mm-hmm. I was like, she put me in such a bad position. And I thought, oh, man. And I released it to God. And then, like, when I saw her and we had that face-to-face, there was still, I could still see, I was like, man, I almost, like, felt like I wasn't ready to, And I don't know if I wasn't like mature enough to realize the difference between forgiving and then reconciling, because right. I could have forgiven her, but I never wanted to hang out with her because we were good friends. I never wanted to hang out with her. I never wanted to do any of that again. And I thought that there was that kind of, and I don't know. It was just something I was really wrestling with. And I was like, did I really forgive that person? And the answer was yes, but I had another, you know, well, did I want to reconcile with and hang out with her anymore? No. Did I, you know, endorse anything that she did? No. But I didn't have any sort of, and I was thinking, you know, is that because I still have like anger towards her, you know, for what she did? And it was like, no, it's just because you know, you can forgive, but you can't forget. And,
right.
you know, or you should forgive and, you know, you shouldn't forget. And it's like, no, you're just not falling down that rabbit hole. You're not, you know, like, cause I thought, no, this is, you know, yeah. And so I really wrestled with that. I was like, am I forgiving that person? And the answer was, yeah, you did. I did. And I thought, okay. And it took me a while to kind of find out that, yeah, I did release that. I wasn't angry, you know. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I've got a lot of those. That's why it hit me so hard with that, because I was like, and I didn't think it would, because I thought, well, you know, it's just basic, you know, you forgive and, you know, you have to, God has to do it and the Holy Spirit has to kind of, you know, change his heart and all that. But I don't know, the sermon just kind of affected me in a way that I was like mm-hmm. pleasantly like, oh yeah, I needed this, you know, I needed this. Yeah. And like, for instance, he was talking about, you know, okay. So if somebody does something against you or that you perceive as against you, but it's not necessarily a sin, but you have anger towards them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really between you and God. It's not between you and them, because they didn't really do anything wrong to you. And I think it's, for instance, you know, for that lady, the one with the movie, she didn't exactly quote unquote sin against me, but I felt like she had wronged me. I felt like she mm-hmm. had done something. But that was between like me and God and instead of me and her. And so I needed to take all of that I had and kind of just say, hey God, take this anger that I have. I'm in a bad position. Take this anger so it doesn't become a burden to me. And it's one of the where then they got into like, should you confront the person? And the answer that you know, it depends on if, you know, the sin is out in the, or if kind of, you know, the anger's out in the open, or if it's just, I mean, a lot of it depends, but I just kind of felt like in certain situations, no, you shouldn't. You should just kind of, that's between you and God. And I know I'm probably not explaining that well, but it's, you know, if you release that and you, because a lot of, you know, the anger and the bitterness that you have towards somebody who might have rejected you or put you in a weird spot, that anger is between you and that's between you and God. And so you need to, like, that's where you have to fight that instead of with the other person. Now, if it's out, like, if something's out in the open and then, you know, somebody sins against you out in the open, or you sin against somebody out in the open, then of course you know, hey, you confront them and you say, hey, look, you know, this is what's going on. But I don't know. That's just what's something I've and then you kind of deal with it. And then you kind of diplomatically, you know, prayerfully deal with all that. Yeah. But I don't know. I just something I really feel like that was really effective for me, because that's just something that I know that I needed to hear again.
Yeah. Cool. I was just going to say that it comes down to this basic principle that God only holds you responsible for what you have under, you know, within the realm of your control, which is how you feel, how you act, how you treat other people, and mm-hmm. how you represent yourself. And you know, so you have no control over whether or not someone seeks forgiveness, but you have control over how you feel towards that person and towards that situation. And I mm-hmm. don't think that God calls us to continually put ourselves in situations where we're going to be a doormat. We can reconcile up until the point that it's a healthy relationship, but I don't believe God wants us in toxic relationships where it can become a plaything of the enemy to divide and create strife.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, and that's you know, something that requires a lot of figure out how to decipher that situation. That requires biblical, prayer, biblical healing, or not biblical healing, mm-hmm. Reading the Bible, getting into the Word, and then just fellowshipping with friends. Like,
right. Jeez. So, and also, anger, just like any other emotion, is something that God has given us to understand situations, to know how to act. So mm-hmm. Jesus said, sin not in your anger. He never said that anger in and of itself is a sin. So how you feel about somebody and not wanting to put yourself in a position where they can take advantage or hurt you or manipulate you again or whatever the case may have been, I think that it's perfectly okay to forgive, but not necessarily go back to that situation where you were at. So you can forgive somebody, and even though it may not be the formality of going to them like, hey, such and such, you hurt me, but you're forgiven. But sometimes the Lord may challenge you to do that, where you may approach somebody, and that's, you know, that's actually part of Bobby's testimony is, you know, she's had some hurts that, and I don't know how much she wants me to share, but she has been prompted by the Lord to go to that person that that inflicted a lot of pain. And even though that person was completely unrepentant, the Lord had her actually go up to this person and talk to them and say, hey, I forgive you. You've hurt me in this way, but the Lord wanted me to let you know that you're forgiven by me and by him. And, you know, she really didn't go into all that detail, but, you know, that's, I think, was what God was trying to do, is reach out to him through her to say that, you know, that this person is forgiven for what they've done in the past, and mm-hmm. and not just to Bobby, but the other hurts and things that they've done. So sometimes God will call us to forgive somebody no matter how unrepentant and how bitter or angry they may be. So,
I guess the language because, there's a release that goes on, I think, of any sort of, there's a certain release. And like, I kind of agree. Like, I still feel if they don't, you can't forgive them, but you can let go of any anger that has gone on. And in a way that is kind of almost, like you said, forgiving. So yeah, I guess it's just a matter of the language being used, but it's definitely something that I'm still chewing on with that. I've always felt convicted whenever I've wronged some people, and I've always reached out to them and apologized. And I've shared it on here a couple times where I went out and you know, the lady who was, when I first met you, I was dealing with a girl who I felt like she was kind of being rude to me. And so I finally just said, you know, nuts to that. I mean, you know, like, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, I'm not going to deal with this anymore. And so I finally kind of called her out, and I did it in a way that wasn't snarky Ryan way, which isn't snarky. Ryan is so stupid. I don't like that guy. But passive aggressive snarky Ryan is even worse. And so I reached out to her, and she still has not replied to me, and it's been years. And, but yeah, I mean, I reached out, you know, after that, a long time after that, and, you know, I never heard back from her. And, you know, so that's one of those where, you know, God will, you know, if God, I don't know, if God leads you to do something, because sometimes, like, if they don't, I'm trying to think, like, if they don't know that they've sinned, or if they don't know that they've hurt you in a way, then, you know, that's still, I think, between that hurt that you have, you know, it's between you and God right at that point. And I think I say that as a way, because I've always felt different about that. I'm always the guy who, you know, up until like last, I would be the guy who would say, "Hey, you hurt me on this," or "Hey, you hurt me, you know, on this," or whatever. And I would do that. And then, I don't know. I'm still, like I said, I'm still wrestling with that, but I am. Yeah. I just think it's a good topic to talk about because of what it actually means to forgive and what that process is like.
It's one of those topics that really needs to be discussed with your family, your friends, with your pastor, because there's going to be different opinions. There's some people that will hear this and be like, "That's absolutely crazy," and there's other people that hear it and think, "Oh wow, that actually makes a lot of sense." And that's why we need to work constantly as being the iron sharpening iron and delving into the Word to see what God would have for us. Because for some people, what we're talking about, it makes perfect sense, and that's what God has called them to do. And then for people like Bobby, who have been hurt by people close to them, sometimes, despite their unrepentance, the forgiveness has to be stated. The forgiveness has to be offered and given despite them being completely unrepentant. And it ends up, you know, freeing them from the weight. And it also, I think, is something that can be used by God to demonstrate that, you know, forgiveness is available even when you don't see the need for it. Sometimes you need to realize it's there before you realize you need it.
Yeah, and you know, that is something that it's definitely something to pray over, and to really meditate on God's word about that, and to just, you know, I know for me, and I've always been one to, you know, I know my mouth gets me in a lot, my attitude, my mouth gets me in a lot of trouble. You know, well, for instance, and I'm not going to name any names, but last year with the Ha Ha Men group, I knew I could tell that I was irritating a certain member I'll be honest with you. I remember going home and I didn't think anything of it. I was like, yeah, whatever, you know, I just, you know, whatever, man. And then God kept on saying, no, you need to apologize. You need to apologize. I was like, for what? You just need to, because you're Ryan, you know, like, you know who you are. You know that you have a bad, you know that, you know, when you get pushed into a corner, you fight back and you become stupid and ignorant. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I just, it was almost like, and I remember I was driving and God just like really, I was driving to meet my worship pastor, and God just like really convicted me to apologize to that person. And I'm thinking, well, it's not going to, they probably weren't offended, you know, like, so whatever. And so I did, I was like, whatever, hey, I'll just do it. Cause this is, you know, I feel like, you know, if God, you know, if I'm convicted on this, then I should probably do it. And I did it. And then it ended up becoming like, it was important that I did that. So to that person. So yeah, it's effective, and it's so I'm trying to take the other avenue on that, is that when you are a Christian, and you do feel convicted about certain things, mm-hmm. you know, you gotta man up, girl up, and apologize or whatever. So and there's been plenty of times where I've had to eat crow, in that area, but yeah, that's just something that I wanted to discuss on that, because I do feel like that's an important issue of what does that look like, and you know, I still like having that knowledge of that now. Like, it was really kind of freeing to me. Like, hey, look, I don't have to have, you know, like, if somebody didn't sin against me, I don't have to make a big deal about it. I can just, you know, I don't have to make a big production, you know, about it, to, you know, to the person. I could go to God and say, hey, God, look, this is something that I'm, you know, angry with. It's hitting me, you know, like it's affected my life right now. I need you to take this away. And mm-hmm. instead of going and like I said, making a big deal, like going to that person and making a big deal about it, or going to, or just, you know, feeling angry about certain things that aren't going right. You can just go to God with all of that. It's, I think, the big picture of it. And, because that originally that bitterness and that, you know, that's not healthy. So first and foremost, mm-hmm. that needs to be released.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was what I took out of that this week while I was off Facebook.
Yeah. Exactly. I completely agree. And, you know, it's amazing that during our walk, sometimes we get to the point where we start to think, okay, I'm all right. I'm where God needs me to be. And then suddenly he taps you on the shoulder and is like, oh, wait, there's this one other area of your life you need to work on. This one other thing that I've been waiting for you to see, but I need you to see it now.
And
it's a constant... It's a walk. It's a journey. The destination is eternal life in heaven, when we'll be complete and perfect when we're presented before God because of Jesus Christ.
Really?
But as long as we're taking oxygen on this side of eternity, you guys can continue molding and shaping us. We're all clay that is never quite done until he throws us in the oven and calls us home.
Well, let's hope that, you know, that's not how I go.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, if you get thrown in the oven, you know that that the three boys in the Book of Daniel, they made it.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah. I my mouth kept wanting to say Horshack, so that's why I didn't say the name.
Yeah. There was somebody else in there. And anyways, the point being is that I'm going to name my kid Nebuchadnezzar.
There you go.
Just to see what, you know, you're going to deal with a lot of crap, kid. Toughen them up. Yeah, and that's important because I, you know, and I've never really felt like, hey, I'm there, but like,
right.
Sometimes it's a discipline for me. Like sometimes it's like, oh gosh, you know, because I remember I was like, oh, I do feel like I need some, like, I don't know, some kind of nourishment, spiritual nourishment here while I was at the, you know, apartment gym here, and.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, you know, I turned it on. I was like, oh, okay, this is amazing. Like, this is really, like, it's great. Because sometimes I'll turn it on and it's, like, some old guy, like, from the 1960s, like, rambling. And he's, like near death. And, like, you can hear him breathing over. And it's just, like, who thought it would be a good idea to have this guy get up there and speak? Like, granted, you know, okay, the substance is there and... I don't know. It's just like sometimes on Moody Radio they have these like old crotchety men, like from like the sermons from like the 60s are just like old crotchety men yelling at people, like going, "You haven't done this, kids, these days." And it's just like, okay, dude, like I'm turning this off. But this one really hit home. So you guys had a show. The Hong Kong Moon had a show on Saturday. Talk to us about that.
So this was the first time in the 4-plus-year history of Hong Kong Moon that we've had a show outside of the confines of the great state of Illinois. So this is we're now an interstate organization. But, yeah, we went down to Lafayette, Indiana, to celebrate the birthday of Senora Vanneman, who is the lovely mother of our own Angela Beckefeld, and it was a really nice afternoon to go and celebrate the life of a really great woman of God who's mm-hmm. just, you know, just got this amazing spirit, this amazing smile, this amazing warmth, and we were down there to celebrate not only her birthday but also the fact that that we believe that God is going to heal her and deliver her from. This bout with cancer. She's got, I think it's like a pancreatic cancer going on. The chemotherapy they attempted was just too ravaging and just is not going to work. So Angela and Sonora are now doing completely holistic, natural options. And it's starting to work because her health is improving. She's starting to feel better. The ravages from the chemo are still evident because she's having some trouble with you know, some side effects there. But that yesterday was kind of what Haha Men was founded on, and the purpose and the mission when we first started was mm-hmm. to use comedy as a way to minister, as a way to celebrate, as a way to distract from what's going on in this world, to help spark hope. And you know, Sonora is amazing. She's not getting down. She's not letting this defeat her in any way, shape, or form. But even the strongest need a day where they can kind of forget their struggles mm-hmm. and forget the battle that they're in. And
absolutely.
I think yesterday we kind of helped do that. And so,
awesome.
You know, we went down there, a really great crowd of probably about 60, 70 people came out to support her. And,
oh, geez.
And Angela sang. Yeah, it was really cool. Angela sang.
I sent Angela a text beforehand. You know, I sent her a text, you know, just letting her know, hey, look, I'm praying for you guys. And break legs, man. Break legs. Praying for your mom. such a sweet family. And I, you know, you said it, like, amazing spirit. And I've only met her once. But she, like, but based on, like, fall, and I think I friended her, I friended Signor on Facebook, before mm-hmm. I really met her, just because, like, and I didn't even, I think I, yeah, like, and she sent me this message, saying, hey, I'm Angela's mom, a friend of her, Angela's is a friend of mine. And mm-hmm. I just was like, wow, what it like. And so we got to just like messaging each other and talking, and we, you know, we know somebody, you know, one of my friends who went to Moody was now one of the pastors at her church, I think.
Hmm.
And he, like, I mean, yeah, she's just such a sweetheart. So, you know, proud of you guys for doing that. That's exactly what the group was founded on. And, yeah, I mean, that's awesome. It sounds like it was great.
It was, and there were a lot of really funny moments, and you know, it's just, we went up there and we just had fun, and Angela's brother Chris, who lives in Atlanta, was there. He gave this, not really like a message, but kind of a living thank you card to his mom, just showing some old pictures, making a few jokes. It was really cool. And then he actually came up and played Blind Line. He and Angela played in that scene together, and he did pretty well. And it was just fun because we played it like it was a big surprise, like, oh, Chris is coming up to be our volunteer, and he came up and he did well. We got his wife, who is Angela's sister-in-law, to come up and be part of Puppet Master. Jim's mom was his puppet master, and you know, we thought it was fitting because, you know, for his entire life she's been pulling the strings anyway. So
that makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, I mean, it was really a good day, and like I said, it was a blessing for us to be there, be part of it, and just get a small glimpse of, you know, you talk to somebody and you get to know them a little bit on Facebook, you think you kind of understand who they are, but
yeah,
you don't get to know somebody until you kind of see what they've done with their lives. And you can see
exactly
just
yeah.
by the fact that by you have 70 or 80 people that come to the church on a Saturday afternoon, and you realize, wow, those are the people that could make it, and there's dozens of others that, you know, for whatever reason couldn't. And you realize this is just a small sample of how many people she's touched, and how, you know, how that warm spirit and that and that smile and everything has just touched people. And so we're just, you know, we're just proud to be a part of it and glad to be a part of it. And it was a decent trip. It was about 2.5 hours down to Lafayette, down into Boilermaker Country.
Purdue. Yeah, the old Purdue Boilermakers. So, and like I said, she and I knew she's affected me in a way. You know, just meeting her once, though, I remember, and I'm not going to go into like what she said, but she gave me a really nice compliment after our gig at Dulwood last year, and I don't know. It really meant a lot to me, especially at that time when I was kind of really angry and just like feeling like I had, you know, I had to prove a point up on stage, feeling, and it just not doing like, I don't know. It just, I was not exactly, wasn't kind of the opposite of what the group was created for. I was kind of had the attitude of me being like selfish, going, hey, I'm going to prove a point. But she kind of gave me a compliment, and it really, it affected me in a way. Like, well, she just encouraged me exactly at the right time when I needed it is the best way to say that. And so for that, and I'll never forget that, just because I was like, wow, that's awesome of you. So I needed that. And I've held on to that for a year, because just like, you know, a harsh word, you know, you can hold on to that. So an encouraging word by somebody can do the same thing. And that's exactly what she did to me. So continue prayers for her. And
absolutely.
And, you know, I know Angela's there doing the holistic approach. I talked to Angela briefly about that on when I was up there last time. And so, yeah, just an awesome family. Awesome people. You know, great. It sounds like it was an awesome event. Happy birthday, Senora.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy birthday. And she's 38 again.
38 again, yeah. Doesn't look a day over, going honestly.
Yeah. So, just really can't say enough about it. And so that's, you know, like we keep saying, that is why Ha Ha Men really came to existence, to focus on using comedy to minister and to distract from what life is doing to people.
Exactly. And I talked about this last week. You know, as much as like I kind of like to do my like artistic, you know, one man show that I wanted to do, it's also very so much more satisfying. Honestly, it's probably more satisfying to me just to make people forget about that stuff, forget about any issues, forget about all of that, by just getting up there and doing wackety stupid songs and that people seem to enjoy. And I've really gotten a lot, I don't know, I've just gotten a lot out of it. And I just, like you said, you know, to have people, to give people that release of any sort of momentary issues that they're going through is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a blessing for us too. Like, to do that, to be able to like, hey, you know what? This is our gift. Like, it's our gift for His glory. And I've just enjoyed that. And being able to do that more so than, let's say, doing really bad. Hold on. Sorry. I have Ben Roethlisberger on my fantasy team. He's thrown 3 interceptions like since we've been on, and he's going to cost me some money. Kids, don't bet.
There's anything that we can learn. It's don't bet on football.
Don't. Well, yeah. Jeez, Ben. Man, hold on. I wanted to play something. Like, that's, I like, seriously, it's, I'll have to add this again. But no, there is some sort of joy that we take from it, because I think we take a lot out of it just as much as we give. And I've really, I don't know, like, and that's what I've started to discover. And you and I have talked about this. You know, look, I have an artistic vision for stuff that I want to do. Like, you know, like the Kansas City Improv scene, they're very like artsy, and they're very experimental, which is okay. It's great. But sometimes people, like, you know, I would have people come to our show and have that release of laughter by participating in, I would rather have that than having them come say, hey, I'm going to, you know, because most people like go to shows to forget about their concerns, forget about their worries, and to just have a night out and enjoy laughter. And I think we get kind of, as artists, we get wrapped up in our own art that we forget that we're also doing it for the public too. And and I know that I have. So that's also important for me to know. I'm going to play a song here real quick. Because
it's just our time.
Almost. Because Tom Petty died. Do you know Tom Petty? You know who Tom Petty is?
Oh yeah, yeah. He made a cameo in The Postman with Kevin Costner.
Did he really? I haven't seen that movie.
Oh, it's actually a really cool movie. The critics destroyed it, but it was actually a good movie.
It looked like it was a good movie. Elvis. I'm going to play some of this in the background because this is it's proof that, you know, you don't know who you can affect with you know, songs. Cause I know a lot of people, like, especially like when like artists die or whatever, you don't know what effect you have until, you know, you don't have that person there anymore. You don't have that you know, art form or whatever, like to have that person right there making music or making, you know, Robin Williams there making some, you know, people laugh. And I don't know. I feel like that especially, you know, you would know is that we have, I'd like to leave a legacy, of like, you know what, like I look back on, you know, Ryan, he, you know, yeah, like he made me laugh. He made me, you know, and then have him play clips of whatever of me, you know, at my funeral or whatever. And that's because I started to think about, like, what, you know, what legacy would I leave, like, when I pass away? Like, what would I leave? And that's just kind of what I was thinking about. I was like, you know, and it also, like, inspired me to, like, okay, I also want to, like, do more, too. Like, do more to go out and help my community, do out to be more a productive member of society and less selfish. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was, you know, and I can do that, you know, I was trying to think of, like, I can do that with my time. I can do that with my, you know, finances. And sometimes it's just, you know, playing a you know, I don't know, a show. Like, I remember I did a show on Wednesday and, like, they just, the crowd, like, really loved it. And it was just, I don't know, it's just great to give people that relief and that kind of, like, like, you inspired me. Because, like, Tom Petty inspired a lot of people for my, yeah, you know, I know, to be a songwriter, to be an artist. And so I kind of want to have that, like, same effect in a way. I don't know. I just started thinking about that when I was like, yeah, what would I want to leave? I would want people to, like, look back and you know, smile at all the goofy stuff that I did and just to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, he was awesome. Like, you know, he was a fun guy to, you know, you know, so he was incredibly entertaining, incredibly productive. I don't know. I just, that's just what I was thinking about. When I was doing that, when I was thinking about, like, Tom Petty and his passing, and just thinking, yeah, he left a pretty cool legacy of music behind that,
yeah,
is pretty good. I was hoping that, you know, like, man, what would my legacy be?
Yeah,
and
I think that's a healthy perspective. And for people of the world, their legacy, they want to leave a legacy that they're remembered. And then as Christians, we kind of want that, but we also want to have a legacy that points people back to the one who created us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a double layered,
yeah,
legacy.
Yeah. And there's something to be said for let's say, I told you about George Mueller, the guy who started the orphanages. I mean, the guy left an amazing legacy, and his was that he just, I mean, he had such a daring, almost dangerous, in a way, like, in a worldly perspective, dangerous trust in God, that I've never seen before. And
right,
and so it was just great, and just hearing the stories about how God came through with it, it's great, and that's one of those things again that I look back on and go, do I have that? And the answer is no. I can't watch this game.
And that's a very hard faith to develop, because, especially, I think in America, because we're so reliant on really knowing what's next. We need to know what's true. We need to know where the next meal is coming, where the next dollar is coming. So to have the faith that George Mueller had, that takes work and that takes effort and that takes patience with yourself to realize that. I don't think that was the kind of faith that was developed overnight. That took him years and years of truly trusting in God.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so, and that was a point I made in one of my Facebook posts the other day was, you know, you had the disciples. They lived, ate, breathed, whatever. They did everything with Jesus for 3 years.
Yeah.
And yet they still had some trouble with full faith. It wasn't until Jesus really came back from the grave to say, hey, I told y'all, that they believed. And yet here we are 2,000 years later, and we as Christians want to beat ourselves up because sometimes we struggle. I think that there's grace there. I think because Jesus even talked about, you know, think about the people who haven't seen what you've seen. He says that after he came back. So I think that we as Christians need to give ourselves a little grace and mm-hmm. when we struggle, but also don't stay in that place where you're struggling. Continue to grow it. Continue to try to get closer and closer to where George Mueller was, to where the disciples were that Easter morning when Jesus returned. You know, having that full faith and realizing everything that Jesus said is true. And it's a work in progress.
Yeah, think about that, though. Like, and there's a story with George Mueller of him, you know, at one of his orphanages, when they're having breakfast, they had no food. It was up until like the last minute, like they had no food. And then all of a sudden there'd be knocks on door. There'd be a knock on the door and they would bring, it would just somebody going, hey, I felt called to bring this food. And I'm going, wow, that's awesome. But it's also like, if you expect me to do that, I don't know if I can. And I'm still, that's one of those things where I was like, wow, well, I mean, that's, it's such a great message and great testimony into how, if we trust in God, God is going to be our provision. And if we do that, and if we, you know, make, him our focus and we trust in him and we trust the fact that what the word says, cause that's what we have, you know, how they had, you know, the disciples had, you know, the living Christ. Well, we have the word and, if we trust in that, then, you know, there's like that's all you really need because everything else is going to become clear to you. He's going to make your path clear. So there's a danger to that, but it's also I say danger, but it's a worldly danger. It's
right.
You know, God's going, yeah, I know, like. You know, he's going, yeah, I got you. Don't worry. You know, and we're going, what are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. And like, I feel like that a lot of times we just kind of have that like danger or that kind of, you know, the tunnel vision of what's going on in life. So, and you know, all that we started talking about Tom Petty and leaving a legacy. And we're talking about, you know, George Mueller's legacy and the legacy that the disciples left, with the book. And we can all like, I mean, you know, Peter and Paul was the guy who, you know, he was pretty bad. He was a bad dude. And then came out and was like, God used him probably more than anybody has ever been used by God. And, it's just great to see how that one person in one small act can affect so many people. And so, you know, the point I just thought, it's like, don't take any day for granted. Don't take anything you do for granted. And don't make it, I know for me, a lot of times I like to make everything about myself instead of being about how I can help the community, how I can help other people, or And most importantly, what would God want me to do? Instead, it's just about like, hey, you know, how's my ego going to get stroked today? How can I be awesome today? It's so, yeah, that's, I, you know, one of those things where, you know, I've really been, pondering that too, but yeah, you know, you never know when your number's called.
Yep.
Who's receiving hose? I don't know what this is. So, yeah, I'm losing on my fantasy league, man. So bad. Jeez. Sad. Kids, don't play fantasy football. It's not worth it.
It's like Dungeons and Dragons for jocks.
It is. Although I'm not a jock. Oh, speaking of that, I'm going to play my new song here. Let's hope this goes off well. This sound goes off well. But this is a song that I debuted. I'll say, there's a video posted on Facebook. I think it's on my Facebook page. Where I debuted the song on... it was a Thursday? Yeah, it was Thursday. So, yeah, I debuted it, and it went pretty well. But here is the recorded version that I'm still working on right now. But you know what? Here's what I have going on so far. It's called I Wanted to Play in the NBA. The crackle.
I wanted to play in the NBA. I wanted to play in the NBA. I really felt called to play that sport, even though I was slow-footed and really short. I wanted to play in the NBA. La la la.
I debuted that, and it's called. And one of the things that I've always been fascinated by is that sometimes you know, we feel called to do something, and God's like, no, I did not create you to do that. You, like, some people think they can, we've talked about so many, but some people think they could sing. Some people think they could dance. Some people think that they are good, you know, at improv comedy, and they're not. It's fascinating to me to, when people kind of say, hey, I feel called, God called me to do this. And clearly, everything about that, everything about how they do that certain craft, whatever they do, says otherwise. But in their head, they think, no, I want to do, I've been called. No, I've been, and it's like, no, there has to be some affirmation, I think, by, you know, certain events that happened, the circumstances and all that. And so that's where that came from. And that happened to me. Like I said, I did, I was like, I used to pray to God, hey, I want to be in the NBA. And it never happened. And I just wrote a song about it. And sometimes, you know, God changes your dreams because, you know, your dreams are stupid sometimes. Like, it was just stupid, you know, it was just stupid for me to have that. Like, yeah, I'm going to do that. Well, no, like, there's, you're slow. You can't shoot. You know, you can't really defend. Like, you don't have, there's not a future there, you know, like, so.
Kind of like Charles S. Dutton said in Rudy, you're 5 feet and nothing. 100
nothing.
Hardly a speck of athletic ability.
Yeah, but the thing is that Rudy, you know, Rudy had kind of a mental toughness about him that, like, he had kind of also
yeah,
like a physical toughness where he'd get beat up and yeah, I mean, yeah, it's pretty much that, except for, you know, I got cut from my high school team, and that was the end of my NBA dream. Yeah, but Michael Jordan was, you know, that was his sophomore year. He was, you know, 6'5", and then he ended up, you know, I never grew out of my freshman year, I don't think. So, but yeah, some, you know, the point is that sometimes. We feel like we're called to do something and we want to do something. But God's like, no, I don't want you to do that. And he has to kind of beat you over the head with it. In a way. That's how I did that. That's where that song came out of. And that's why I made it into like a blues kind of old school vinyl-esque blues song. There because I wanted it to kind of sound like those old time blues records. Because that's, you know, it's, you know, shattered dreams, man, shattered dreams. And I had a dream I was going to be playing in the NBA. Never happened. It's like, why not? Well, it's because, you know, it wasn't athletic. I couldn't shoot. Like, had no, you know, couldn't defend, you know, always fouled people, just was, had a bad attitude. So, well, of course, yeah. It's not like, you know. But yeah.
But
so
sometimes.
Go ahead.
A life lesson that I've seen happen is sometimes God lets you have a dream because he wants you to head in that direction because he's got a greater purpose for you there. And I think I've mentioned to you before, I've got a friend who lived in Detroit, and his dream was to be in the NBA. But
he probably had more talent, you know, than I did, though.
I've never seen you play, so I can't say for sure. But
we've
I mean,
before.
I was trying to be nice.
Okay. Come on,
but,
I appreciate that, Dave. I appreciate that. Thank you.
But his whole purpose in life was to pursue pro basketball so that he could end up creating a new semi-pro basketball team down in Orlando. And that's how he does ministry work. He does. He's able to raise money. He's able to do some really cool things. But had he not pursued pro basketball, he'd never be where he's at today. He'd never have met his wife in college, things like that. So sometimes even the most outlandish, crazy dreams are given because God wants you to head in that direction. So that's just a life lesson, just a kind of a side note.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, but it's also, you know, I also wanted to make this one funny, because it is. There's something, I mean, there's something like funny about a kid, 5'3", white kid, slow white kid who wanted to have that dream, and for me it was mainly a product of my environment, just growing up, because that's what it was all about, sports. And I so wished that I had gotten into the arts earlier, or that it was cool in our neighborhood to get into the arts, because it wasn't. You know, growing up in Missouri, you know, they a lot of them looked down on that because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't manly, you know, it wasn't manly to do that. And I was just like, well, I mean, I have this like creative outlet that I've always wanted to get out. And I never had that I never thought it was cool to get that out in high school. And so I just thought, okay, well, I got to, you know, run with the crowd here and you know, put my identity in if I can, you know, be good at athletics. And because I really wasn't, my identity was really shattered in high school. I know I'm going off on a, I mean, the song was really just supposed to be a lighthearted, fun thing.
Yeah.
But you know, in reality, it you know, high school, like that was the product of my environment, and it's also, you know, once I got out of that environment, I was able to go into the arts, and you know, people really, it was almost like this whole new world, like, came about after I got out of high school and graduated. This whole new, like, this world, like, hey, oh my God. Yeah. Shining, shimmering, splendid. It was great. And so, yeah, that's why, in all seriousness, I wish I would have been able to pursue that more. But also, you know, there is something to be said to having those funny stories of you trying to, like, you know, me trying to go out for something that God clearly never intended for me to go out for, and just try to fit in a way. So I try to use that and use those opportunities now just to make people laugh. I mean, it's not, I'm not trying to make any sort of like, yeah, dreams are stupid. No, it was just like,
yeah.
No, clearly God didn't have this dream, this goal for me, but yet I kept on trying to, and he's kept on beating me over the head with it. But yet I was like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to prove God wrong, or no, you know? And that's where that old song came from.
Yeah. And I wasn't trying to say that you're saying all dreams were stupid. I just wanted to make sure that anybody that might have it on the podcast, you know, if they were like 4'6" and they had no athletic ability but still wanted to be the NBA, maybe God could call them to the NBA.
That's not true, Dave. I mean, maybe as like some sort of
as a coach or
as a coach or something, not as a player. Yeah, you know, not as a player. Just because, you know.
Yeah.
Michael Strahan. But yeah,
you say Michael Strahan?
Yeah, he's on TV right now. He's got his teeth. So is Tony Gonzalez. Like, man, where's that guy? That guy's everywhere. Like, I thought that guy was working for CBS. Now he's on Fox, and the Packers about to play. But yeah. Anyways, no, there is something to be said for, like you were saying, God puts certain things in your life. Now, obviously, your friend had a certain level of talent to get at a certain point, to play, you know, start a semi-pro team, and that's, you know. And he had that affirmation along the way, whether it be from other people or whether it be from, yeah, just, you know, from other people or from the fact that, you know, he was able to successfully do something with the semi-pro league and, you know, find his wife and just whatever. So, you know, God could use you in any circumstances. And even, yeah, so, I mean, It's just you can have any sort of, but maybe like mainly if you're if God's like leading you something and you don't get that affirmation, then don't continue to pursue it. And we went on this, that got like really serious. That got like more serious than I intended for that to get, like. Because, again, it's just supposed to be a lighthearted song about, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great song. I really enjoyed it. And I guess for me, when he said stupid dreams, I don't know. I'm sensitive to that. I was like, man, no. I mean, unless, like you said, there's no affirmation or no confirmation from the Lord or from other people, it can be maybe a foolish dream, but never call your dreams stupid unless it's like, unless you wanted to be, I don't know, president and you didn't have $1 million or something. I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going with that. So let's cut that out of the. Let's cut that whole piece out and post.
There's something to be said for that. Duly noted. Duly noted. Are you driving?
I am. I'm on my way to rehearsal for a murder mystery show where there actually won't be a murder. It's more of a kidnapping because they're going to be performing at a church.
Oh, goodness sakes.
Oh, you know, I just want to be
Because that's step below of, like, kidnapping. There's a slight miscommunication because it's at church. So, you know, there's a... That's funny.
And Bobby will be one of the stage directors, and I'll be one of the main stars. I'm one of the main characters, and I play alongside of a gentleman by the name of Ted Williams. He's African American. I'm as white as French bread, and we are twin brothers in this show.
Well, I'm not gonna ask. Was that casting there? You guys are twins in the show.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
and,
I mean, it's portrayed like you guys are twins in the show.
Yes. We are twin brothers. And we do make a joke about the difference in complexion.
Yeah, that's a messed up. I guess it could work.
It's a comedy show, so it works. And the guy that I play opposite of is my twin brother. He's the director and the owner of the theater, theater company. So it's kind of his idea.
I mean, it's awesome. Like, I mean, I think it's funny
to have,
you know, a black and white person be, you know, twins. I think I lost you, dude. I think I lost Dave. I think we lost Dave. But anyways, that is funny. I don't know when the show's coming on. Hopefully it'll be okay. Hopefully it'll, you know, the kidnapping, you know, won't be too damaging to the people at the church. That's funny to me though. That's just really like kidnapping instead of murder, because it's a step below. It's a step below murder. What's up, Dave? Dave, you there? Diamond Dave. Anyways,
Ryan, are you there?
I am here. Yeah. Hey, when is your show, man? Hello?
Put me on mute.
Can you hear me? No, you're not on mute. Hello?
I'm going to try to call back in.
Okay, try to call back in. I can hear you fine. Dave, so there was Dave. That's miscommunication time with Dave. What's up, dude?
Hey, sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
I heard you. I was trying to talk to you. I was like, hey, Dave, what's up? You're like, I think we lost connection. I'm like, no, I'm right here. did we talk? that's funny. I wonder if that's ever happened in real life, ever. That, like, there's been a black and white person, but yet they're twins. That's actually... Like,
I think that there has happened.
That's actually, like, really... I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of groundbreaking there. That's kind of funny. Yo, man, we're twins. Yeah, we are. We're twins. We're, you know...
Well, I mean, just for 20 years in wrestling, it was D-Von and Bubba Ray Dudley.
That's right, yeah. But they weren't...
Yeah, I don't know if they were twins.
No, and they were brothers, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were brothers.
Oh man, that sounds like fun, man. So you have that show going up. We're gonna end it here probably around 3:30 in the podcast. So you have a show coming up.
Yeah, I've got a got a few coming up. Personally, I'm in Good for the Soul. It's our monthly Haha Men show at Fountain of Life Church. For that month of October, we're going to try to collect a love offering to send to Convoy of Hope to help with all the work that they're doing in Texas and Louisiana and Florida. And I believe they're even in Puerto Rico as well, serving in the aftermath of the hurricane. So that's going to be our community focus for Good for the Soul on Monday, October the 16th. And then the Not Murder Mystery / Kidnapping Show is going to be Friday, October the 27th. That's going to be in Dalton at the Chateau Boucher, or as we like to affectionately call it, the Chateau Bougie.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you say that again? Can you try to say that properly again? Because that was really funny. What is it called?
The Chateau Boucher.
The Chateau. That's awesome. The Chateau Bouche. The Chateau Bouche. Cool, man. We'll look for you. I'll be back on Facebook here sometime.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might get on later today. Just to kind of see what's up.
Facebook is kind of like the mafia, where every time you try to leave, they pull you right back in.
Well, I mean, it's also, especially like for like us, like me, like I needed to kind of promote my stuff and to kind of, you know, support like you, like with your stuff and you know, what's going on with you guys. So, because I want to make sure that I'm doing that. But I just don't really care about, you know, people's political opinions who are going to be angry and mean and stupid. I'm going to be playing the Bottleneck on Monday. It's a bar in Lawrence. So I'm going to be doing that. And then on Wednesday, I'm going to be back at the Piano Bar doing some jams.
There you go.
And so you know, just continue to work on my comedy music, and that's what I'm doing. Continue to write, continue to produce music that is entertaining.
And you're killing it, man. The NBA song, Let Her Be.
Yeah, Let Her Be. I messed that up on a Saturday, or on a Thursday, but that played really well. So, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, man. And you're killing
more,
it, literally. Or or kidnapping it.
Actually, I don't think I'm going to be the guilty party this time.
Oh, okay.
Because for our audiences, they like to automatically assume it's the one white man in the building.
Yep.
Which.
Yeah, he did it.
Which is hilarious.
No, he didn't. All the evidence points to everybody else. It's him.
But.
That's awesome.
That
just made
a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's funny. I would you would do it. Well, anyways, man, you know, be safe driving. I don't want to take too much time away from your drive here.
I'm good.
So, because that's cool. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep doing what you're doing, and
you too, man.
That's like
go
check out Ha Ha Men. It's good for your soul, and they're really funny. Like you got, and I'm not just saying that because like I've you know. Been with you guys and are friends with you guys. Like, you know, you guys genuinely entertained me when I was watching you guys last time up there. And I know you guys kind of were down on yourselves after the last Delwood Park show, but you guys shouldn't have been. So,
yeah, man, I appreciate that. Now, I was trying to say that once you get probably another 2, maybe 3 songs, you need to hit the recording studio and put together a CD to sell these gigs.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, and I'm still trying to work out, like, the songs. Like, I'm writing this one song right now called My Love Song, and it's just kind of like a doo-wop song. That's going to be my next step is to do that. And I'm talking with my worship pastor about stuff like that, too. And because he's become a real good friend of mine. He's a pretty good hand and all that stuff. So we'll see, man. We'll see. But good things are happening for us, and that's good. Because you know, it's amazing what God, you know, can do in people's lives. And you know, I know that you're busy doing what you love to do, and that's great. And me too. You know, we're here for you guys. We're here to make you guys laugh. I know we really got into we're funny people. Really got into we get into deep subject on these podcasts because that's also we also feel like it's important to kind of talk about what you know we think you know about our walk and all that but we love to make people laugh on stage and so just come check us out but check out our videos on Facebook and YouTube and just do you know please like us. Hey man, you have fun, break legs tonight, kidnap somebody, and you know don't let the man take you down, all right? You could throw OJ at them, all right?
I don't have a white Ford Bronco. I have a purple Honda Fit. Won't be quite as dramatic a police chase.
All right, man. Take care.
Hey, one more thing I want to pitch to you.
Okay.
I just realized that your next song, it needs to be about breaking up with and then getting back together with your starting quarterback on your fantasy football team. You start off, you break up with Roethlisberger, then the song's like, oh, you got 3 touchdowns, we're back together.
That
needs to be a country song.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. All right. You look like you try. I'm going to have to give you credit now for the writing. I don't want to do that. That's funny. I'm going to do that. I'll have to do that. I'm going to do it in a Johnny Cash like style song or in a 1980s like George Strait song. Alright, man.
Alright, man. God bless.
What rhymes with Roethlisberger, Dave? How am I going to rhyme that? Alright, man. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.